This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Rogue Rebels podcast. I am Sal, I am your host, and it's time to talk High Republic. So, with me, I have a very special guest who loves audio presentations, as it were, which will come in handy during this episode. Please welcome Iraj Dolachahi from the Sith List.
What is up, Sal? How you doing, buddy? What's up? Another honor on this show.
It's good times, man. I'm so glad that you were able to make some time in between all of the amazing reaction videos you guys got going on over on the Sith List YouTube and
Thanks.
All that
and,
kind of
and the thing. Amazing thumbnail, Sal. Forget about the thumbnail.
No, I don't. You know, it's hard not to click him, bro.
Right.
You know,
that's the whole point.
Yeah. No, I get it. It's yeah. You know. I totally get it.
Oh,
today,
Lord,
but we're not here to react to something, kind of.
Kind of.
What do you? I mean, we're just going to talk about the Battle of Jedha, which is the Phase 2 High Republic audio original by George Mann. I brought you on specifically because you always have this thing where you really like audio dramas. You always talk about the OG, like the New Hope audio drama and stuff like that. So I like talking about these things with you.
Yeah, man, it's something that my dad passed down to me. We used to take long road trips, and I used to listen to, what station it was. It was an AM station, but they would play old school radio dramas, Hitchcock, and they'd play, Bogart was on them, and they'd play these things for hours. It'd be like Sunday night radio TV, it was called.
Yeah.
And it was so cool, man, and they would play the old commercials they used to have, and I used to just get lost in those radio dramas. And then when I was younger and I found out that Star Wars had the OG one and the Empire and the Jedi one, it blew my mind because the Star Wars ones had these side stories that, you know, we all just pretended to play with your action figures and make up these stories. But when you're listening to the radio drama, you're like, oh my gosh, that's what happened with Leia being interrogated by Vader in there? Oh my gosh. Or, oh my gosh, Obi-Wan and Luke met before that day on Tatooine. So, right. Yeah, I absolutely love them, man. I love the fact that Penguin Random House and Star Lucasfilm, their version of their audiobooks are very much like radio dramas with sound effects and all that. And then now they're actually doing these dramas. So, very excited that this is happening.
Yeah, like the audiobook production of a Star, like I listen to a lot of the audiobooks. I know a lot of people, like people know that we keep up with the books, but I do the audiobooks usually. Usually I'll read through the book, then I'll do the audiobook, and then like I go back and highlight. But audiobooks is something that I can do throughout my day when I'm building a costume or mopping the floor or washing dishes, whatever I'm doing, driving somewhere. Audiobooks is a thing. And I know some people have issues with like, they like to read it on the page. It like holds their attention better. They can't really do the background listening thing.
Right.
Which like I get, but like I do it and I enjoy it. And I know you do the same thing with the audiobooks, and the production of Star Wars audiobooks has always been like top tier.
Right. Top notch.
Yeah.
And we had the pleasure to have Mark Thompson on our podcast on the Sith List. What was that?
I heard that episode.
Excuse me. Yeah, thank you for listening. But what I talked to him about was, hey, you pretty much brought Thrawn to life, voice wise, and how he speaks and his tone and his mannerisms. You brought him to life, and then you know in Rebels they pretty much took your adaptation of it and kind of made it their own. And then now, if we ever get him, quote unquote, in live action. they're going to be doing a mixture of both. So how cool is that? It came from the audiobooks.
Yeah. Well, I think Rebels came out first. And he sort of like did the same Mads Mikkelsen kind of like,
the Rebels came out. Oh,
because Thrawn came out in Rebels, and like we were at the we weren't at that one. That was the big celebration where they showed the trailer with Thrawn at the Rebels. What are these things called? The Rebels panel.
The panels. Yeah.
And they also announced the book, you know, because that's when they announced, and Timothy Zahn is writing a new Thrawn book. Ha ha ha. You know.
Right. That's right. Okay.
So the episodes did come out first, but like it was all sort of it came out around the same time ish.
Gotcha.
But he got that like to see that inspiration, you know, like, I don't know if you were watching Rebels hardcore back then, but like when that trailer hits, it's very much like, to defeat an enemy, you must know the enemy.
Yeah, it was rad.
And then the music hits. I love the music that they did for Thrawn. Like this crazy pipe organ.
So
like,
cool. It's very Captain Nemo-ish.
It's so rad. It's just like from, big.
20,000 weeks.
Yeah. It's just, and it's like such a, like there's this weird thing of like recognizable instruments in Star Wars. Because it's so symphonic that it sort of just blends together into a timeless thing. But then they hit you with a pipe organ, or when you hear a piano in the trailer, sometimes it throws you off. And now we're in this world where, like, you know, there's Mandalorian flutes, and, you know, what the Kyners have done with Clone Wars and Rebels and Bad Batch, like all these synths and stuff like that. Like, I really love Star Wars music now that has like broken off into such a more than just Williams. Even though I love John Williams, I like I like that it expands, and I like that there's room for everything.
Yeah, you could really say the last 5 years of Star Wars music has just been the whirlwind of what the future is going to be for Star Wars. I mean, music wise.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. Kyners are definitely killing it.
For real.
It's so good. The music of Andor was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, also, man. I didn't even mention it. Like Nicholas Britell, like there's this weird like 80s throwback synths to like.
Exactly.
You know, very like.
Love the 80s, Sal. You know I do.
Oh, well, that's right. That's right. The way we was.
The way we was.
Just real quick, everybody out there, check us out at theroguerebels.com. Hit our Facebook page and like it. We are on all socials at The Rogue Rebels, except for Twitter, where somebody took that, so we're Rogue Rebels fam. Araj, where can people see your reactions, hear your dulcet tones, and your like panel of like ever increasing Avengers West Coast of
hosts. Yeah, we got it is pretty much like it's like the United Nations, by the way, and also like the Avengers West. You can hear us anywhere podcasts are enjoyed, the Sith List, and we are, if you haven't heard of us, we're a Week in Geek kind of format. We talk Star Wars heavy, and then everything else pretty heavy as well. And then you can see us doing reactions and breakdowns of things like Last of Us. We do all kinds of Star Wars stuff. Obviously, we're getting ready for Mandalorian, Bad Batch. We're doing stuff when we can. And check us out, Sith List on YouTube as well for all that good stuff. Sithlist.com has all kinds of cool stuff. So just go to Sithlist.com for everything.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to miss these thumbnails, people. I'm telling you.
The thumbnails.
That's it.
Are pretty epic. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. I'm working on episode 7 of The Last of Us right now.
All right. Coming soon.
Coming soon.
To a galaxy near you.
Coming Sunday.
Yeah. There we go. Man, that show, by the way, is killer. I know I'm really enjoying you guys' reactions because, like, we as a family played the game. So we, like, know everything. And then also, like, we really enjoy watching it as a show. And then also, like, so I'm watching the thing, and I know Randy has played everything and knows everything, but I really like seeing, like, your reaction as somebody who doesn't know what's coming.
Yeah. I'm kind of,
super rad.
I'm jealous of people that have played it, because I wanted to be able to feel how it felt to play what I'm watching, but I'm also kind of envious that I haven't played it, because I don't know anything that's going on.
Yeah,
and I love the fact that they're throwing in things and changing things up for the people that have played it. which is very cool.
Yeah, it's such a different medium. So it's really cool that like how they draw you into that world is different from, because in a video game, you just like, you are that person. You spend so much time in that world that you sort of take a lot of that stuff for granted.
Sure.
You know, like a lot of these little moments that you're seeing on the screen, they just happen like throughout the gameplay while you're wandering in a maybe dangerous place.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like,
yeah,
it happens organically because you are that person. It's not like a compilation, you know what I mean? But like then watching it, like you see how they pick the important pieces to like bring out and show to you, as opposed to you spending 3 hours looking around some houses for some band-aids, some scissors, tape.
And being and worried constantly.
Yeah.
Right.
Checking and around every door.
Exactly. How great is Pascal?
I mean, everybody in
there's going to be a moment where he's pretty much going to run streaming networks.
I mean, yeah. We all saw that meme.
Right.
Yeah, man. I'm sincerely looking forward to Mandalorian season 3.
Yeah, me too.
And I mean, as excited as I am for Pedro, like really excited to see what Bo-Katan's part in all of this is.
Yes.
Because it's like, she's sort of billed as an antagonist for a minute, but now like all of these shots are of like, you know, there's been a lot of, I don't know if you guys have seen like the Empire magazine spreads.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, Bo-Katan and Din and Grogu, and it looks like they're on Mandalore somewhere. So like, I don't know. Like,
I just want Din to realize that he can chill. Like he can be Mandalorian and chill. He doesn't have to get all hardcore. Like, go to the side. Go to Boca's side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Take your helmet off.
Yeah.
Enjoy a drink.
You already did. It's fine.
You already did it.
Yeah, you don't need to build a straw into that helmet. It's good.
No. Like, you don't need any more Beskar, bro.
You have to eat alone all the time? That sucks. Yes,
forget it.
Yeah. Have a pizza with your boys on Thursday nights, pizzas. Bro.
That's right. Pepperoni.
Hey, we got to try that margarita again.
That was phenomenal.
It wasn't bad. It was real good. Let's see what else I got here. All right, before we get into the stuff, like, there is some High Republic news. I don't know if you heard this.
No,
but probably not. There is a show on May 4th coming to Disney Plus, Young Jedi Adventures. It was announced at the last celebration. It's an animated series for preschoolers. So I'm also really excited to see. I'm going to reach out to you about May 5th and see how this went over with Little Malik.
Yeah, that's so exciting.
Because this seems like something that might be perfect for his time.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that's exactly what he is.
It's a preschool show of young Jedi. And like you can see here, I got some little pictures, and it's like Yoda. Yeah. It's like three little Jedi. One of them is like a blue fluffy teddy bear.
Yeah, I saw that. That's so cool.
Yeah. They seem to have a friend with a cool jacket named Nash something or other, and a little droid with like little feeties that is super cute.
Yeah, that is. It's like a BB-8 head.
Yeah, with feet.
With feet. That's awesome.
So everything about this looks adorable. It's High Republic. So I can't wait to see all that stuff. There's also a publishing line coming with it. So you're getting like, you know, all these World of Reading books and like Level My First One comic. And what do we got here? Jedi Training. Oh, and there's also a book by Charles Sewell and his daughter, Rosemary Sewell, called Jedi Brave in Every Way. And it's featuring like some of these characters.
Look at that.
That's pretty rad.
That is rad. This is like right up my alley.
Yeah. So, you know, my kids might have been too old for this, so we're going to find out. When you listen to the Rogue Rebels episodes, I don't know if Axel's going to be like, whack, or if, like, you know, I hope they're not, but, you know, my kids are no longer preschoolers, so
yeah,
I'm going to be, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sure they'll appreciate it.
I hope so, Arash. I hope so.
I hope my kid appreciates it.
Yeah, that's the I think it's made for your kid and like Steele's kid maybe. So like I hope Harry to see. Really,
yes, exactly.
Y'all's
I had to yell at Malik today because he kept throwing Kylo Ren lightsaber. Mm-hmm. Like he kept flinging it like it would come back to him, but he could like throw it across the house, across the living room. Like, dude, you can't throw your lightsaber. He's like, why? I said, because it's a toy. First of all, you're going to break it. He's like, no, I'm throwing it. I'm throwing my blade. Yeah.
You should have been like, this weapon is your life.
I know. I should have.
He's doing like the Kylo in the SNL skit where he's like, you don't have to look at it anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
One comic that I didn't cover, just real quick. I thought you would enjoy a comic series, a High Republic series called Trail of Shadows from Phase One. So I let you check out the issues. It's a Daniel Jose Older comic. And it's a very like film noir-ish detective story about a Jedi and this like, and they're trying to solve the mystery. Like, now that you've read it, like, yeah. I don't know, man. Did you enjoy it? Did it hit the notes?
Yes. I loved it, man. I loved it.
And such a unique, cool feel to a Star Wars comic, right?
Right. And that's exactly the type of thing that I want. I know that they kept saying that, you know, Andor was going to be this like film noir type of thing. And it kind of was.
Yeah.
It kind of had that feeling. Yeah. But I like this one is like absolutely noir. And I would love to see something like that, you know, play out. But the comics were great. Yes. Thank you for letting me borrow them.
Yeah, man.
I still have them. They're right here.
Yeah. You still got them. Right, I got the trade paperback. So I'm putting my collections together.
Yeah.
I love the art. Like it had a very like pulpy kind of like 80s, 90s, early 90s art style. Like, that I was vibing with, and like, you know, like the opening page is, of course, like the, what do they call it? Like once they get turned into dust.
Oh, the husk.
Yeah, the husk.
The husk.
Freaking, our
which
man.
We'll go over with this because it's in this radio. Oh, yeah. It's in this drama.
Yeah, drama. But it's like the story is so well done. I really like the characters, like a Jedi detective. That's rad.
It's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And why wouldn't there be a Jedi detective?
Exactly.
Like, this is the coolest thing. And because they are kind of detectives in a way, you know.
Right. And even like this kind of gets into that. Like, you know, because like your first thought is always like, well, Obi-Wan in episode 2 was solving mysteries. Or at least mine is. But like,
me too.
We kind of get into this in this audio drama a little bit. Mm-hmm. So real quick, I guess let's get started with the Battle of Jeddah. It has, this is, like I said, a full cast audio drama. Like, Krayton's son, Aayda Forte, like you got all these Jedi. I'm not going to go through them like individually, but like the main characters are Krayton's son, Aayda Forte, I would say Salandra Sho, like these are the three Jedi. And then you have the two ambassadors for Iram and Erino. You have like a Church of the Force adjunct who's like helping everybody along the way. You have the members of the Path of the Open Hand. Most notably, the Mother, the Herald, and Marta Rowe. And then, what else we got? It's pretty much the big ones. There's, like, a Graf, who's one of... a Santeca, and a... what's the guy? Tilson Graf and Morton Santeca, who are sort of the, like, officials of this, like, peace treaty, sort of.
Yeah, they're supposed to be the... kind of like the... the middleman in the whole thing, right?
Yeah. And since like they're not Republic officials, they're sort of like hyperspace random people and all that. And when I put the notes together, I wanted to put pictures because I knew you hadn't quite seen some of these characters. And
yeah,
I've seen,
I appreciate that,
some of them in the comics. So I thought you might get a kick out of seeing what they look like.
Yeah. Pretty rad.
Go ahead.
I love, what's his name, man? Main character.
Krayton's son, maybe?
Yeah, Krayton's son. Like, he's a cool looking dude. I mean, just like handsome Jedi, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's like your straightforward roguish, but also like very like he's got the accent and everything. Like, well, so like almost like Obi-Wan-ish, but he also
very
seems
Obi-Wan-ish.
Like a little, I don't want to say rougher, but like maybe elder.
Yeah, a little bit more.
Because he's already on the council and everything, right?
Yes, he's already on the council. Yeah, it seemed like he was a little bit more polished.
Okay. Yeah.
Than Obi-Wan.
And I also really like... so, the main two, it's like Krayton's son and Aayda Forte. Mm-hmm. So, he's like a human Jedi guy, and she is a... she's a Nikto.
Yeah.
But she's also very, like... she seems to add a little bit of, like, fun. And, like, she's kind of like the one who's like, oh, don't be so serious all the time to his...
yeah,
you know, thing.
Exactly. She tries to soften things up with him.
Yeah,
throughout the whole story.
But I thought she was really cool and really interesting and really like she offered that levity. You know, like they at the very beginning of the book, they're sort of like looking, and he's like, "Oh my god, there's like two like fleets, war fleets in orbit over here," and she's like, "Yeah, they're here to sign the peace treaty, dude. Like, relax." Like, right. That's a good sign. They're supposed to be here.
Exactly. That's one thing I thought about him. I thought he was, in the beginning, he was just stressing out.
Yeah, yeah. He was
kind of negative throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, yeah. Always kind of fearing.
Kind of like a Debbie Downer.
And yeah.
Even to the very end. He used to make a couple jokes, and he's like, yeah, you know how I am.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, he's also one of the ones, like, when he meets up with Salandra. So Salandra, I know from, what is it? The Quest for the Hidden City. It's like the young adult book, and it's like her and her Padawan. And so in this book, she's like, oh, you know, my Padawan Mita Batu, you know, after that whole business, because they had like this whole adventure where they're in this planet that was just sort of cut off from, like, all the communications have been sort of destroyed in this area and hyperspace lanes disrupted because of this war that's like spilling out and affecting other systems. So they were stuck and had a whole weird, creepy adventure.
Okay.
And in that book, she's like pretty cool, but like it's mostly like from the Padawan's point of view.
Right.
So I was like, all right. But in this book, I liked her a lot because it's almost like she had so much fun in this book. Like, she wasn't like the master. In the other book, she's like the master character.
Okay.
So she's very much like, well, Padawan, don't worry, we'll figure it out. And, you know, like in this book, she's kind of like she's the one who Creighton's like, well, you know, like, she's like, oh, you're so stuffy. Like, the idea they keep you all good over there on Coruscant. Like, you know, there's this whole big galaxy to explore. Why do you want to just be at the temple all the time?
She was the one, if I'm not mistaken, that pretty much takes the bull by the horns and investigates stuff, correct?
Yeah. And she's there, like, on a pilgrimage.
That's
so when stuff goes down, they were like, hey, can you, like, just check things out while you're on your pilgrimage? Since you're, like, not supposed to be here, technically.
Can you do us this favor? That's right. Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, it's cool. I'm with it.
Yeah.
You know.
She almost gets eaten.
Yeah. So, like, okay, I'm going to try to, like, as succinct as I can make this story, is the Battle of Jeddah is a battle, but it's also kind of like a riot.
Right.
So, the peace, the treaty between Irem and Erino is supposed to be signed on Jeddah in neutral ground, away from both planets, and, like, not overseen by the Republic, but with the public officials there so that this sort of thing can get sorted and everything can get back to normal. There's, like, a bombing attempt, and from that, like, the peace talks sort of break down, along with the presence of the Path of the Open Hand, who are against the Jedi and stuff. And they're all trying to figure out who's, like, disrupting the peace attempt, who's trying to make the war. And, like, eventually what happens is, with all the assassination attempts on each of the representatives, they sort of bring their armies out, go to war against each other with the people of Jeddah in the middle, and the Jedi and the Guardians of the Wills come out to defend the people of Jeddah, and they sort of, like, stop the armies. But it looks like what's probably going to happen is each army is going to go back to their people and try to continue to wage the war despite the wishes of the new king and queen.
Yeah, the peace treaty didn't really pan out there.
Yeah.
Not at all. I mean, they were very close. I mean, the Jedi were very close to getting blasted on there.
Yeah, for sure. But the story is, like, pretty rad, and then it's also, like, weird, and, like, it's not the battle that I pictured. I'm not sure what I pictured, but it seemed like a lot of it was more of a riot, and there's, like, creatures in the streets. There's all kinds of weird stuff happening.
Right.
And it's between the, like, force delegations on the planet in addition to the peace treaty stuff. You know what I mean? Because, like, there's all the, there's a thing on the planet called the Convocation, and it's where all of these, you know, force, all these religious sects of force delegates from different, like, including the Jedi, have a representation to speak and whatever. And the Path of the Open Hand are there now, and they want to be part of it. And they're kind of like, no, no, thank you.
No. Yeah. We believe in the Force, but we believe that you guys are screwing with the Force and don't mess with the Force.
So they're not happy about
that. Chill with it. Which is very interesting. And I you probably heard this on the podcast, but I think it's just super cool that we're getting into the stage where people are questioning the Force and how the Force should be used, and if the Jedi are doing the right thing.
Right. So this is, like, your first time meeting the Path, right?
This is the first time meeting the Path. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, like, do you have any, like, what did you think? Do you have any questions? Like,
yeah, there's a whole man, I am full of questions about this, which I, like I said, I thought it was so just interesting that we're starting to, I mean, I'm driving in my car listening to this, and they bring up the fact that, you know, the Force is all about the balance. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody dies here, if somebody gets saved here, vice versa. If somebody gets saved, I mean, somewhere else, somebody has to die.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, holy crap. Like, if that is true, then the whole ways of the Jedi are completely false and wrong. Like, they're not supposed to interfere if what they're saying is true.
Right.
And I know
right.
they probably have an ulterior motive in this whole thing, but just seeing it right there and listening to it right there, I was like,
right.
This is something so cool that has never been brought up, and as far as I know, mm-hmm. In Star Wars, questioning the way the Jedi use the Force and if they should even touch the Force.
Yeah. So, yeah, the basic idea of the Path of the Open Hand is, like, the Force should be free. That yeah. they, like, trust the will of the Force. They shouldn't interfere with. So, which means, like, any Force wielder is doing the wrong thing by manipulating the Force, like you said. Very, like, butterfly effect or
yes.
The way I always think about it is like Final Destination. Like if mm-hmm. they save somebody here, then the next guy has to die or something
right.
like that. Like,
right.
There's a book called the Path of Deceit, which is like goes a lot more like which happens before this.
Okay.
Which is like the sort of delves a little bit more into that. But, I don't know. What do you think about the mother? What do you think about the Herald? What do you think about them overall, especially the people?
Well, it seems like, I don't know, to me, I mean, you know, it seems like a religious cult.
Yeah.
That the heads of the religious cult always have an ulterior motive, and they're the shady ones. And there's people that are believers that are genuinely good people that follow along.
Right, right.
That get wrapped up into this. And I think that's exactly what went down in the story. Is it Marta Rowe?
Marta Rowe, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously she has some ties to Marshawn Rowe, I would imagine.
Right, right.
I don't know yet. I'm sure she does.
Oh, I don't know if she showed. Yeah, I think she might have showed up in his book, but I'm going to give you a little extra info. Yeah. Marta Rowe and her cousin, Yana Rowe, are both a part of this this cult, for lack of a better word.
Got it.
Like I said, Path of Deceit, there's a lot more about them and stuff. So her cousin is a little more, like, does different stuff in the, has a different job, I guess.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, I thought they were very interesting, as if you're going to make these guys the enemy. I like the fact, you know, what was cool was to listen to the manipulation of the surroundings in the society, people that are just in the streets, how easily things can change from, you know, yeah, thank you, Jedi, to, oh, no, the hell with the Jedi.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, and we're not far from that in our own society.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, it was very, like, it'd be like the way the whole riot starts is sort of the Herald comes out and he's like, well, we tried to be part of the convocation, but, you know, they don't want us because but we have a voice. We deserve to be heard, such and such. And the Force should be free. Who out there is manipulating the Force? Maybe even the Jedi, you know, like. And he just gets all these people heated. And there's also a point where a little girl frees these creatures who end up like they're basically like Force wolves, or like there's some animal that the guy describes to the little girl, who's a child of the Path of the Open Hand, that like, oh, you know, they use the Force to hunt. And she's like, what? And he's like, no, they don't like manipulate it. It's like their instinct, you know, like they flow with, you know, and they're like, oh, what they do is natural. And so then she like goes back and she's like, you know, the Force should be free. So she frees the animals and they like horribly injure her.
Right. And then, right. That was crazy.
Like, then they end up terrorizing the streets and the Path of the Open Hand sort of help corral them and then tend to the wounded and all this stuff. And like throughout the story, there's a, like you said, a very duality to the Path stuff. Like, there's bombings at these peace summits. So like the building gets bombed twice, I think. And every time like they go and they help the people. So the people on the street are like, they helped us. Like nobody else was there. You know, where were the Jedi? And they were like trying to find the people who were setting the bombs. but they exactly. weren't helping the people who got bombed. So like they have a point, you know what I mean?
Right. Right. And all these bad things happen when the Jedi show up.
Yeah.
So, you could see how things completely change. Just quickly.
And how it like looks, you know, they're very like, I don't want to say a cult with a good PR, but they're very like conscious, it seems, of like, well, let's help the people and like the people on our side. And that's how we blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. The whole thing is.
Yeah.
Marta Rowe is her whole thing is about the PR.
Yeah. The comic books right now are like catching up to this moment. So
very cool.
I don't know if you remember at the beginning where they were like, when Salandra Sho first arrives on the planet and she like talks to her friend who's like now a guardian of the Wills, and he's like, let's go see the Protector. And we're led to believe that that's that like giant statue of the Jedi that, you know, this stands guard over Jedha. And as long as it's there, we'll be safe.
Yes.
That in the beginning of Rogue One, we see laying out in the desert.
Laying on the floor. Yeah, that was so cool to hear that.
And then in the story, you hear like, oh my God, they brought the statue down.
Yeah.
In the comic, you sort of see what happens a lot clearer on that side of the story. At least the last issue that I read, I was like, whoa, okay, we're catching. I know where we are now. So I'm like starting to think that a lot of the little threads that they left open where you're like, oh, huh, I wonder what happened there. They're getting picked up in other stories.
Oh, for sure.
Right. Which is like,
well, really, and they still haven't really exactly defined, if I'm not mistaken, who the animals that turn you into husk, like what they are, right?
Well, okay. That in the other book, yes. So like if you read the books in order, you would already know that those are the same things that we see later in phase one.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I see. Yeah. I'm just saying they're the same exact ones from phase one, correct?
I don't know if they're the same. Well, they're the same exact type of creature.
Okay.
I don't know if they're the same ones. I'm going to go ahead and like spoil it a little bit for you.
That's fine.
So in Path of Deceit, like at one point she has an egg or she has like a jewel. It looks like a glowing orb that she has and she's like caressing it and like she's like overcome by this thing. And then it hatches and everybody realizes it's an egg and it's one of those creatures, but it's like freshly born. So it's not as powerful as it is, as we see it like later when even in the presence of it, Jedi are turned into husks.
Okay.
Like it happens so much slower. So like, you know, like in this book, like I think when those creatures are set free and when the whole riot happens, I think they set one out. We don't see it, but I'm waiting to see if the comics are going to catch up to that and we're going to see the other side of it.
Well, they had the one that was like, was her like pet, right?
Yeah. Well, it's Salandra, I think, comes to like Salandra, like confronts the path a few times in the book.
Yes.
While she's investigating. So like,
Oh, okay.
The first time she talks to the Herald and he's like, well, you know, we don't need you Jedi and we're helping people and blah, blah, blah. And she like, nothing comes of it. Right. And then she goes back. And she speaks with the mother and she goes to like the mother's room or whatever. And she like gets kind of messed up, but she doesn't know what it is. And she's like, she thinks it might be the mother, but like Kef gets her out of there. She's hanging out with the adjunct from the Church of the Force named Keth Sarapath, who's like a kid who sweeps the floors at the church. And he goes and he hangs out at this bar called Enlightenment that everybody is welcome at. And he's like, I just want to like have an adventure and have a really cool story to tell. And he quickly becomes one of my favorite characters in the story.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's my favorite. He's great.
Just by being a cool kid who like he's
just a good kid.
He's very much the Luke Skywalker of the story. He just wants to 100%. Be on an adventure.
Yeah. He wants to have something to tell people that he did in his life. Yeah, for sure.
And when Salandra Sho is investigating, she starts taking him with her and like he starts being like I'm like in an adventure, you know. So when they go and talk to the mother, when he sort of pulls her out of there, he's like, I didn't feel anything, you know, I didn't. And she's like, something's weird, I don't know, maybe it was her. Do you think she was doing that? I don't know how she could if she's not supposed to be force sensitive, you know. So she can't quite figure it out, but then later on the streets it happens again and she knows it's the same feeling because she recognizes it,
right?
So there was a creature out there on the streets, and also I'm reading the comic right now, So all of those like force delegations and different sects, that is a whole different sort of riot that happens on its own, because they're on the streets and they start losing it and doing force rioting.
Yes, they start freaking out.
Yeah, so like they're kind of on the streets losing it too, which right. makes the riot even worse.
A lot of riots going on.
Yeah, and that's what, because I was like, is this a battle? This is just like, this is just, this is a riot.
I felt like Rage Against the Machine should have been playing in the background.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. This is good times in LA.
Exactly.
So like stuff starts popping off, and then this is also like, by the time all this goes down, they're trying to get the delegation together. They're trying to get the peace treaty signed, and there's a bombing at the summit. And the guy is killed, Morton Santeca, who's supposed to be the, I don't know, the official who's like presiding over it, because he's from this hyperspace family, but he's not Republic, so he's neutral. Da 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 da. He's killed.
Yep.
And to replace him, there just so happens to be a guy from another hyperspace family named Tilton Graff. I forgot his name.
Tilton Shady Graff, I think his name is.
Tilton Shady Graff. Do you recognize the Graffs from anything?
I do not.
They were in phase one a little bit, but were more in one book specifically, in one YA book. Out of the Shadows? No. Well, yeah, no, it was Out of the Shadows.
Out of the Shadows. Is that the one with the plants?
That was Into the Dark.
Oh,
so the first YA one was Into the Dark. The second one was Out of the Shadows, and that was about this girl named Sylvestri Yarrow, and she was like a pilot, a smuggler, and her mom was missing and all this stuff, and she ended up working with a Graff who was like a rich jerk who hired her to do, you know, like, but like they're another hyperspace family like the Santecas, but they seem to be like 72 gallons shadier.
Yeah, and he's like the black sheep of the family, right?
Yeah, and like he had also been in trouble for some financial nonsense. This is such an America freaking story. So he was trying to get back in everybody's good graces by presiding over this peace conference. Of course, we later find out that he was on the take from the Path, which confirms that they're doing shady stuff.
Right.
And he also, when the Iram and Arano people start bringing their soldiers down, like, he's the one who sold them their battle droids.
Yeah, he wanted out.
Like, and he's trying to get out. Oh,
he's like, no, I gotta get out of here.
He, much like the lawyer in Jurassic Park, he doesn't make it.
Yes.
That was
the bathroom.
That was rough. It wasn't in the bathroom, but he did die in an alley. He ends up catching up with the mother, and he's like, hey, take me on your ship, you know, like. And she's like, what? You get away. You know, we can't talk. And he's like, I did all this stuff for you. And all of us as the reader is like, oh, we know he's working with the mother and all this. And he calls her by her name, dude.
Yeah.
I forgot her name, but it's mentioned like once or twice in the other book. And I'm really starting to think that anybody who knows her like real name is somebody who maybe knew her before all this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm trying to like put the pieces together, because I'm always like, what's the ulterior motive? Clearly, she either started this cult or is the voice of this cult. But like, if she's trying to, like, for instance, it looks like she's trying to directly attack the Jedi. Like, why? What is it she has against the Jedi? I guess it's the same thing I kind of get with Marchion Ro.
Yes.
Like, clearly he wants to bring the Jedi down. But why?
That's his that's his number one goal.
You know, and with all this stuff in his past or his familial possible past, because clearly these are other Evereni. Not the mother, but Marta Ro and Yana Ro. So I wonder if there's something here in the past that's, you know, turns them all against the Jedi. And like, that's why he's doing what he's doing 150 years later.
Yeah, hopefully we find out, because that's going to be the basis of all this.
I don't have my finger on it yet, but I'm still trying to figure out the why. And I don't know if there is.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Like, I don't see Marcion Roe as a, like, joker. I just want everything to burn.
No.
You know,
no,
he seems very focused.
Yes, for sure.
And the same thing with the path. Like, I don't know if you recall the part where at one point the Herald is like, we're having trouble locating this item that they're searching for on Jedha. So
yeah, I remember that.
In the other books, it's made very clear that they are stealing Force artifacts. Ooh. From all kinds of from the Jedi, from every sort of place where they can find them. And the reason that they give the church people, like even the ones who'd barely know about it, you know what I mean? Because this is probably like a secret thing that not everybody knows.
Right.
But even the people that do know, they're like, we are reclaiming these objects to stop them from abusing the Force with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
this might sound like a really stupid question, but in this new era, in this new canon that we have with Star Wars, mm-hmm. do we know exactly the origins of the Sith?
I don't think we do.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I just wonder, because I'm just with the artifacts and everything that you're talking about, and we have Acolyte coming out, and that's going to be the end of the High Republic. I wonder if this is all leading to, like, the creation of or just like it morphs into some kind of like Sith, you know, thing here.
Right. Like in Legends, the origins of the Sith was always like some Jedi who rebelled and fell to darkness, and they started their own thing, and there was like a lot of them until they realized that they could concentrate their power by minimizing their numbers. Which is like the rule of two. And that, like, that's like the Darth Bane, or the idea of Darth Bane, is canon as the Sith who started the rule of two 1,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Whether or not his full trilogy of books and all that stuff is canon remains in question.
But yeah, that's right.
But like, you know, like the idea that around 1,000 years ago, the Sith disappeared and went into hiding and limited their numbers. That's like the idea. Mm-hmm. That we currently know in canon. And we know there were plenty of Sith before that, but we don't really know what their origin is.
Where their origin is. Interesting.
Which is interesting. I like that. And I also think that's a thing that, like, I don't know if Star Wars is ever going to mess with it, because there's so much, like, Old Republic stuff that's, like, I mean, you can just dance around it forever and not even worry about it.
Yeah, there is.
And then... Yeah, but of course, everybody out there is going to be like, well, do the Old Republic. But then as soon as they touch it, they're going to be like, it's not as cool as the thing that was. Why are you doing it? It was fine.
Why are you
touching
it?
So it's like, I see how, like, why they would never want to touch it.
Right.
But I feel like they could do, like, the High Republic, I kind of feel, I guess it's not, like, because they're stuck in this era where there is no Sith, theoretically, even though there are technically two somewhere.
Yeah. But yeah, that's why I'm saying it. There is no Sith.
I was kind of always in phase one, especially, I was waiting for the Sith to be revealed.
Yeah, me too.
It never happened. Yeah. But still, I really like, I don't want to say a trope, but it's so hard to find an enemy to fight a Jedi that's not a bad Jedi.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I feel like so far in the High Republic, both phases, they've come up with really unique ideas that put such a unique spin on it that's not just like, okay, well, he's a bad guy and he has a lightsaber.
Yeah, I love that about the first phase.
Yeah.
I was also wondering, how are they going to have somebody match up to these Jedi, especially that the Jedi that they have are so badass in phase one.
Yeah, but I mean, just the idea that you can have like a threat that's not, I like what they came up with. They're pirates.
Yeah, I did too.
But they like use all these weird, like they poison you. And they do this other thing, and their ships have like magic hyperspace things.
Right, like, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, and so it's like really crazy. Oh, see that? I wonder if that's a thing. I guess that won't be for like 50 years, right? Because in the phase one, the person that has the paths is Mari Santeca.
Yeah,
and she's like supposed to be like 100 years old or something. So maybe we're a little too early for that.
And then in this one, they have somebody that's kind of like the eye for them, right? They have somebody that
well, So in this one, there is no Niall yet.
No, there's no Niall.
But Marta Rowe,
I feel
like might be the beginning of that.
Yes. Okay. Got it.
I feel like might become that. And then, of course, like the cover of the next book is her, like, standing in what looks like the symbol of the Niall of the future of the eye.
Oh, gotcha.
So, like, I feel like maybe we'll get a little bit more in 2 months.
Oh, that's rad. I like it.
And the book that you missed. Oh, are you done with Convergence?
I'm not done with Convergence. Okay. No.
Convergence, like, it doesn't quite touch on the path as much, because it's really all about IRM and Arano. But I really like that book. That's a damn good book.
Oh, good. Yeah. I mean, I I'm liking it right now.
Yeah. When you finish it, make sure you go back to our episode with me and Laura from Force Toast, where we talk about it.
Yes. Love Laura. She's the best.
Yeah. It's good times. And it's like a super fun romantic book, more so than I thought it was going to be. And then the romance was coming from other places where I didn't realize it was going to come from.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. I had a lot of fun with that book, and I really love the characters in that book who do not show up in this story at all. Who I was like, you know, because I thought that they were like, okay, we're gonna go to Jeddah and like do the peace treaty, and then like this book starts and they're like and Gellan Atai is like, hey, by the way, I'm over here and I'm a way seeker, and also they're not coming to the peace treaties later.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that sucks.
Well, good for them, I guess. I guess I'll catch up with them in, what's the next book? Cataclysm.
There you go.
Yeah, so... They got you. So I think the path is the big bad of this phase. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know how it's going to come to a head.
Right.
But right now, they're already like, well, we should see what's going on Dalna. Because that's where they came from.
Yeah.
Which is in the Path of Deceit, like they're sort of based there, and the Jedi and like all that kind of stuff. And somebody like tries to check them out and figure things out. And that's when the mother sort of gets a test run of her baby creature.
Oh, yes.
And
okay.
So they don't get to tell the story of what they found.
Got it.
So.
You know what? I got a question. The Jedi, have they like, got into like the manipulation that they do with the weak-minded? Because I was thinking, like, during that whole battle at the end,
with
the Jedi are about to get blasted, they never ever try to use their way to change and manipulate their minds. And I don't think this phase or last phase has really got into that at all.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I can't think of a thing, but I remember one line specifically from this story where, like, I think it's Krayton's son, and somebody's like, can't you, like, do something? And he's like, we would never use our mind to manipulate others, even in the battle. Like, he says something like,
okay,
who would ever do something like that?
Who would ever do it? So it's evolved to that.
Obi-Wan is hiding in a corner somewhere.
Right. Maybe that is, like, the last resort kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they were, like, they had guns directly pointed at them and civilians.
Yeah.
And they weren't allowed to force.
Okay. So like when stuff goes down, so basically all the peace talks come to nothing. They keep bombing each other and everybody keeps blaming the other person for the bombing. So like the people, the delegate, what is it? Like Ambassador Cerox from IRAM is like, I knew it was the Arano, you know, and they're saying the same thing for the other side. So they like start to call their armies down. Oh, I don't think even Tintac makes it. The ambassador from Arano is killed with the second bomb.
Yeah. He doesn't make it.
But so they start like they have like battle droids and war machines and all this stuff, and they bring it down to the streets. And I was like, that's messed up. Like, go home and fight. Like, how are you going to come here and like put this? And then the path of the open hand is helping the people in the streets, helping them find shelter and helping the injured and really good PR stuff. And the Jedi are supposed to remain neutral, but they start killing all the battle droids and machines. They start breaking everybody's whatever, you know, all these like things. They're not killing anybody, but they're destroying all of the, like I said, they're fighting with battle droids and like these drill ships and gun things. And you're like, and so they just start destroying all the weapons, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But also with the Guardians of the Wills. What do you think about the Guardians of the Wills in this book?
Yeah, I thought that was rad. I mean, just to hear them.
They were like, they were like almost like police, but not quite. Like, I don't know how to describe them.
Yeah, they were like, kind of like...
They were with the Jedi and they were like all cool, but it was like clear that they were like, hey, like this is our like jurisdiction. Like, we just kind of do this thing. But the Jedi were like, hey, we need help helping the people. And they were like, the Guardians of the Wills are there. And it seems like they're not Force sensitive, but they were like very good fighters, and they were like bodyguards in every situation almost. They were showing up to protect the delegation. A few of them got bombed.
Yeah, they're like kind of like the Hell's Angels, you know what I mean?
I guess so.
Without the motorcycle.
Right. Yeah, the non-mobile Hell's Angels.
Yeah, and they weren't like trafficking guns and arms.
Yeah. Or whatever happened in that show.
Yeah, exactly.
But they were, I don't know, like, I feel like I've had all these stories about Guardians of the Wills doing cool things, but I still don't know, like, what are they, do they do anything besides just guard Kyber? I think that might be their only job.
That might be the only thing they do. Huh. It's like the, they're kind of like the people that are in the Vatican, the soldiers that are in Vatican are just standing there and just helping. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't do much more.
Maybe that
is. Yeah, I thought they were going to be badass, too.
I mean, they were. They kind of helped the Jedi, like, destroy all the things. And, like, like, the Jedi, like, were destroying all of the Irem's things, and the Guardians were fighting Erino's things. So, like, they ended up splitting up really well and then also backing up the Jedi. So I thought, like, it was, like, a little bit weird in, like, a Clone Wars way, how you have these Jedi leading these other people who are not Force-sensitive warriors.
Right.
I like the idea.
Yeah, that's cool.
I don't know. They were cool in the book. And the few characters that were, like, you know, like Solandra Show is like, hey, what's up, old buddy? So it's like clear they have like a standing relationship with the Jedi.
Yeah, they've known each other, that's for sure.
Or whatever. But it was cool, and I enjoyed their presence. Even though I really want to see what their whole thing is besides just being good at fighting sometimes.
Right, what's their shtick? Yeah.
So what happens is basically they fight everything off to a standoff to where both of the armies have to bring their soldiers to like landfall, basically. And then it's like the Jedi and the Guardians, they're sort of facing them off at the last minute. They're like, look, we're going to shoot right through you. And then backup Jedi finally arrive because they did get a message out, even though the comms were jacked.
Mm-hmm. Just in time.
And then, but this is a very like, for lack of a better words, like the rhythm is Battle of Geonosis. They're sort of there. Reinforcements arrive, but the fight doesn't start right away. The reinforcements are there. And then they're kind of like all surrounded, and they're like, look, we're just going to go through you guys. Like, you guys are supposed to be neutral. This is not a Republic or Jedi jurisdiction. And both armies sort of shoot at him. And all of the Jedi together, like, freeze and hold back all the blaster bolts and missiles and all that stuff. And Krayton makes a speech.
Right.
That was pretty rad.
That was a great speech.
And I know, I don't know how it would look, but, like, just visually in my head, it was pretty rad.
Yeah, it was super. And it definitely worked. Well, it worked for the soldiers, not the generals and the
Yeah. And like he makes this really cool rousing speech of like, look what we've done by working together. You know, together we can like do it. We are here to protect these people, but like no matter what, you have lost that day. Like there is a Republic thing with this and that, and all we Jedi are going to protect the people, and no more people will come to harm here on Jeddah. Go home. Drop your weapons. And the soldiers start dropping the weapons, and the generals are like, what? Pick up your thing. You're going to be court-martialed. How dare you? You're fired.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
It was touching. It sounded like, you know, like you said earlier, very similar to Obi-Wan. It sounded like Obi-Wan in that speech.
Are you talking about the speech in the Kenobi show?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, when we were listening to him make that speech, we were like, this is the opposite of a good speech, because Obi-Wan is like, there's more of them, they have more weapons than us, they're better looking than us.
Oh yeah. No, I'm just talking about the tone, not the
it was
the
very much
speech.
Like, it's like, but if we stick together.
Yeah, that's right.
But it was
we're
funny.
Gonna die. Yeah. Obi-Wan's speech in that show was like, we're gonna die, but you know, let's do it together.
Liz was watching that speech, and she was like, I can't, like, Obi-Wan is not an inspirational.
No.
She was like, if I was in that cave, I would have ran away.
Just turn around and run.
I thought it was really, really funny. But it was very, but it was like the same,
he sounds
same
like
energy. And he does have that thing.
Yeah.
Just the idea of like, you know, like, because I'm picturing like the Force Awakens frozen blaster bolt. But like this whole sort of like dome of them around them as they're between these two armies. Like in my head, that's how I see it.
Cool.
You know what I mean?
That was really cool.
That part worked for me quite a bit. Oh, so what ends up happening with the bombs is everybody, like, as Salandra shows detectiving things, every witness says something different. Oh, they were wearing like Arano colors, and it was a droid, it was a Jedi, it was a this, it was a that. And it turns out that there are these, there's a sect there called the Brothers of the Ninth Door, who like can Jedi mind trick your memory. Okay. So that when you try to remember what they were, you remember what you want to see. Mm-hmm. So all the Iram people are like, oh, I saw the droid with an Arano person that were, you know, and then all the other people are like, I thought it was a Llewellyn. I thought it was a Jedi. So, like, they can't figure it out, and then they go to the bar, and the guy at the bar is like, oh, I know what this is.
Yeah, the guy at the bar knew everything, by
yeah.
the way.
Although, like, in an audiobook format, his name's Graydon, and having that next to Creighton
yeah.
makes things difficult. When I was like, oh, Creighton. Graydon. Creighton.
Yeah.
Graydon. But he's, like, this little creature who owns the bar, and everybody's welcome. But he's, like, so cool.
And is
Keth
cool.
is the one that goes there all the time. And wants an adventure, and they're like, oh, you brought a Jedi to the bar? Oh, your
Bring
buddy's never
to
gonna
the
believe
bar.
This, man. So cool. Bring a Jedi. And he like makes a deal with a Jedi at one point where he's like, okay, I'll give you this information. But I need a favor from you. And Salandra's like, okay, like what do you need? And he's like, I need to do everything in your power to make sure my boy Keth here is safe and protected.
Oh yeah, that was cool.
And she's like, I was a Jedi, I was gonna do that anyway. And he's like, okay, as long as we're good.
Yeah, what I loved about that dynamic with everybody in the bar is they really loved Keth, you know what I mean? I thought in the beginning I was like, oh, these guys aren't sincere, but they're very sincere. By the middle of it, you get how much they loved him.
Yeah, but it was like such a little like I guess community, but it's just like such a mm-hmm. random and he feels like the kid because he's like the kid who just works, you know, like one of them's like an ex-pirate, the other guy owns the bar, the other guy like
yeah
you know so
stories,
he's looking at them like how exciting their lives are wherever yeah. they're coming from, and he's like, man, one day I'm gonna do something cool, I just sweep the floors. And then like when he brings the Jedi, they're all like, oh, you know, like he brought a Jedi.
Damn.
Man, you're on an adventure now, aren't you, Keth?
Right.
And towards the end of the book, they end up confronting the Brothers of the Ninth Door. They end up fighting. He saves Salandra, and Keth gets killed.
Yeah.
That hit harder than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, that was rough.
And, like, shout out to the audio production, because they put, like, the perfect music and everything in there while mm-hmm. he's making that, like, speech. Because yeah. his, like, dying words are like, you know, like, I just wanted to have an adventure, and I got to do it,
and
or something like that.
I got to do it.
I got to do it. You know, I helped
tell
you.
Them.
I helped
yeah,
you. Tell them my
helped.
Story. I helped you.
Yeah. That was sweet.
And she feel, and even her, like, all the vocal performances in this are fire. But Salandra yeah. show, like, and like, just spoilers again, the epilogue, like, the very ending of the book is her going back to the bar.
Oh, that was cool.
And telling the story of him, you know, and she's like, let me tell you the story about this adjunct who spent his day sweeping and all this, and all he wanted was an adventure. That was
yeah.
Like,
they did a great job.
That was perfect, man.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things that, like, I don't know. Like, sometimes if you don't do it right, it's not. It doesn't work.
Yeah,
that worked.
That worked
perfectly.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. The music was great. If I remember correctly, it was like the Force theme or something, right?
Not when he dies, but I think when she tells the story, it's almost like that Clone Wars music Order 66 music, maybe.
Oh,
I don't
gotcha.
Remember which music it was, but it was like a very recognizable, but very like, well, not, I don't know if solemn's the right word, but it was very emotionally evoking.
Right.
And whatever they picked, it was perfect. Shout out to Penguin Random House Audio.
Oh yeah, they're
always on point.
Always.
Graf tracks down them while all this riot and all this stuff is happening. The mother's trying to get back to their ship and trying to get, like, everything's going crazy, and they're like, well, we better get out of here. The Path of the Open Hand is leaving, so they're all trying to get back to the Gaze Electric, and the mother is like in the streets, and Tilson Graf finds her and is like, hey, like, we had a deal, I'm gonna come with you. And she's like, no, we can't be seen together and all this stuff. And he's like, like, I helped you, now you help me, and we got to get off this planet. So I don't care. I'll just hide in your stupid little ship, and then I'll get off and I'll pay you. So blah, blah, blah. And she just shoots his ass.
Yeah.
Which, like, And he's the one who calls her by her real name, I think.
Yeah, he's the one.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, she's gonna shoot you, bro. Like, she doesn't need you.
You see it coming a mile away.
Oh, a mile away. She's like, what are you doing?
Well, I guess I have no choice. You're right. Because he's like, you wouldn't want this getting out, would you? And she's like, no, I guess I wouldn't.
Yeah. He set himself up for death.
You didn't have a gun? So Shady Graf guy dies.
Shady Graf dies.
And then also, like, the Jedi have figured out that he's the one who's sort of behind. Because, like, when the armies land their weapons, it's like they're all bought from him. So they're like, they're following the money and stuff.
Yeah.
And Salandra finds him in an alley. And she's like, look at you. Like, is this what you know what I mean? Like, you set this up. You got everybody hurt. Cool. You got my friend killed who was just trying to help people. And all you got for it was a blaster bolt in the back alley.
Yeah.
You know?
You're just laying here in a back
alley. And I was like, damn. Yeah,
that was cool dialogue, man.
Yeah, man. There are some really good speeches in this.
Yeah.
You know? The story was well done. It looks like they're all going to go back to Dalna. Like, they're still trying to figure out what's going on with the path. Right. Like, when they're trying to solve the mystery, she goes to the path, Salandra goes to the path several times. And she's like, I think something's weird, but I can't quite put my finger on it. And then they speak to Gela one more time. And she's like, I know he was working with these people called the Path of the Open Hand, but I could never find any evidence. So, like, everybody knows something's up with them, but nobody can prove anything. And that's where we're at. And I think, like, at the end, they're like, well, we need to go to Dalna and see if we can find any more clues. Which is the first time since the other book.
That they're going back to Dalna.
Which, like, in theory was, I don't know which book that's going to take place in next. But Convergence, I think, is going to focus more on maybe Gela and Axel. Convergence is the one that you're reading now. Cataclysm is the next one that's coming out that I think is going to follow that storyline of those two.
Okay.
And then the young adult book is Path of Vengeance that I think is going to focus on Marta Rowe and the path probably.
Oh.
And then the young reader is called Quest for Planet X. And that deals with Salandra's Padawan, Rupert Natani, who, like, remember she was like, I'm going to go pick up my Padawan from Batuu.
Yep.
It looks like they're on Batuu in this book. So maybe we're going to see what they were up to.
That's cool. Oh yeah, they did say Batuu multiple times. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, because they just had, like, a real crazy adventure. And I feel like the kids are going to figure out where, because the book is called The Quest for Planet X. I think they might be figuring out where they're getting those creatures from.
Oh.
You know what I mean? The Nameless or the Shri Karai Karai.
I'd love to see that in live action, see how they would play that whole husk thing. It's just so gross.
It's like a horror. This has got to be some kind of horror thing, right?
Yeah.
Gotta
be.
Yeah. I wanted you to see some pictures of these characters just because I didn't know what you were picturing in. But yeah, Salandra Show has a shield. I thought that was rad.
No, the shield is badass.
I thought it was rad when it showed up. And then also it made me immediately, when we went on the Star Cruiser, when you do that lightsaber sort of practice or whatever, you train with a lightsaber and a shield.
Oh, see that.
So, like, if you go to the Galactic Star Cruiser, if you ride the Halcyon, when they put you in that class, they give you a shield. And I was like, that's kind of cool. That's kind of rad. And now I'm pissed off that I didn't buy one, because you can buy one. And it, like, lights up. Like, you can buy one and bring it home.
All right. That's rad.
And I'm upset that I didn't do that, because I really want to be like Salandra Show and put it on my back and Captain America fools all over the place.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was thinking, like, wow, how come we haven't seen this before? Heard about this before. That's such, like, a good idea.
And for me, it always kind of, like, comes back to this very, like, Japanese weapon culture kind of thing, how, like, they don't really have shields, like, and some people are like, well, they make, like, the best swords ever, shields are useless. You know, they use folded steel, son.
That's true.
But, like, you know, with a katana or with whatever, you know, like, samurai, for example, their sword is their shield, you know, just like the Jedi use their lightsabers to deflect, like, and protect. To, like, that idea, but also the idea of a Jedi having a shield is rad. Jedi being a shield, they're supposed to protect. Like, what?
Yeah, they could use
better symbolism.
Others.
Is there?
Mm-hmm.
So I like twisting that a little bit, and even letting this character, like, doing that. Like, that's cool. And like I said, I picture, like, Force Captain America moves.
Yeah. Oh, I see the cover. I see the cover of Path of Vengeance. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
That see the symbol, the Nile symbol on the floor?
Yeah, totally. That's exactly.
You see on the
happening.
Sides, those are the creatures.
Oh, you're right.
Those are the nameless.
Those are the nameless.
And then there's two Jedi there. I don't know their
names. Is this the first time we see these creatures like this?
We've seen them in comics, and we've seen them in I guess comics mostly. We've seen them in some concept art.
Okay.
But yeah, I think this is the first time they got a cover out of the deal.
Yeah. Very cool.
They're getting that book cover money now.
Yeah, yeah. They're getting residuals.
Yeah. Those there you go.
Husk mothers.
Residuals, bro. Oh. Just another cool thing that I found is if you check out Star Wars Insider, the magazine has been having a lot of short fiction, and they were doing High Republic short fiction stories. A lot of people were like, oh man, I don't want to pay. You know, those magazines are like $10. But look, let me tell you right now, this is what I do. I have 7 library cards from 7 cities in my area. And if they connect to an app, they connect to Libby or Cloud Library or whatever. And if the library has a subscription, you can check out the digital version and read the stories. And usually the magazines are unlimited. So like, it's not like I'm like, ah, crap, Araj checked it out. I have to wait 2 weeks.
Oh, that's genius. Dude.
Usually. So I've been keeping up with the fiction. That's how I've kept up with the fiction, through Libby, with my like LA County library card.
That's
which
super
is super
cool.
Easy. And you don't have to pay $10 a pop to read 1 5-page story, which is like, not that it's not worth $10. You know, maybe you like the interviews with Boba Fett or whoever. The magazines are always great, but I generally like focus on the fiction.
Yeah. I didn't know you could do that. That's cool. And you're helping your local library out.
There you go.
Numbers.
Also, they just recently collected like Phase 1. It's like Starlight Stories. They just released a hardcover that has like all the fiction stories collected in one thing. So if you wait a while, they're going to have it. But they just started releasing Phase 2 stories. And the first story is called Tales of Enlightenment, New Prospects. And it's about Keth.
Oh,
so
nice.
It's like, it happens before, obviously. And it's about him sitting in the bar, listening to people's stories and stuff. So like, it's really cool. And I read it after I listened to this book. So I was like, oh, cool. This is about Keth. And then it was like him being like, man, I want to go on an adventure one day.
Oh,
I was like, no, you don't.
No, you don't really.
Just sit here in the bar and listen to stories, bro.
Yeah. But I love how they're doing this with this phase and how detailed everything is and how it's all connecting, coming together. And you could just find random things in Star Wars Insider or wherever you're looking at that helps build the building blocks to what we're going to get.
I mean, they did it in Phase 1 too, but I feel like there's just less to keep track of. Like, so far, there's way less characters. You know, we had so many Jedi in Phase 1 that, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I feel like there's so far, there's definitely like a little bit less to keep track of.
Oh, for sure. The first one gave me anxiety. The first like 2 or 3 chapters, I was like, I can't follow this.
Yeah. Look, I mean, even if you can compare Convergence to Light of the Jedi, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be like, oh, okay. Like.
Oh yeah, I feel like I've got a master's degree after I get through the first phase. You know what I mean? Right. Now I'm trying to get my doctorate, but now it's like, oh, I went back to high school a little bit here.
Yeah,
with the character development.
But I'm really curious.
Not storyline wise, but just like how many characters are.
I just want to see what the connection point is. You know what I mean? Because like, I know there's a reason they're telling us the stories in this order.
Yes.
And I want to see what here leads to there. Obviously, we're getting the nameless. We're getting some Evereni whose last names are Ro.
Yeah.
So like,
it can't be a coincidence.
You know, like I think that's the seeds of where we're going to get to, but I want to know, I don't know if you read Midnight Horizon. It was the last young adult book from Phase 1. And it was the Daniel Jose Elder book that took place on Corellia.
No.
And I'm going to spoil it a little bit for you.
It's okay.
Yoda finally shows back up.
Okay, dude. That's what my next question was going to be.
At the end of the book, Yoda shows up with somebody who I still don't know who it is.
Oh.
And he basically says, like, to figure out what's happening, we have to go back to the past. And that's, like, the cap for Phase 1.
Okay.
So, like, I want to know what Yoda knows.
Because he gets mentioned in all these things, dude.
In the young, he shows up in the, what is it? High Republic Adventures, like the younger audience comics, which are really, really good. But he disappears in like the second or third issue.
Right.
And like, if you read those comics, you know why he disappears. Because he disappears with some, oh, you know what? I'm going to spoil something else for you.
Okay.
They mentioned, you might not have catch it, but a lot of times they're like running around with little kids and they're like, come on, Tromac. The Path of the Open Hand Littles.
Yeah.
One of those characters that they keep naming, they've named him in this book and they named him in Path of Deceit.
Okay.
His name's Tromac. And later in those High Republic adventures, he's like the elder of this planet where they don't like force people.
Oh, okay.
And he disappears with you. He's the one who goes with Yoda when Yoda disappears.
Oh.
But I don't think he's with Yoda when he reappears, so that might not be good for him. But, now, yeah.
Question for you. Now, they're spending an insane amount of brain power and insane amount of, like, talented people doing all of this stuff between the audiobooks, the written books, mm-hmm. the comic books, these little stories and Insider. We're going to get something out of this, right? Like a movie or something? Like, does it make any sense to you that they would just cut this off?
I think, I don't want to say that, but I think, like, I think freeing them from that lets them do what they want. You know what I mean? Not having to worry about who's going to do what in a movie and where they have to tie up this certain thing so that some, you know, or not touch this thing because something is going to happen in a movie. Like, I think it's because they're not doing that, that we're getting stuff like this because they're free to do what they want. I think that was the idea behind the initiative.
Well, that's pretty ballsy of them, dude, to spend that much on all this.
Yeah.
And it's very cool. I mean, it's kind of part of me kind of doesn't want it because there's a lot of people that, and I'm not gatekeeping or anything, but part of me like this is a separate thing and it's cool and I'm loving it and it doesn't need to be a movie. I just can't imagine them not using this amazing stuff and this already built world to do something.
I think I feel like maybe when they're said and done with whatever they're telling.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Then somebody can, like, then the path can be open for somebody to be like, hey, I have a story that I want to tell, like, that fits in here. You know what I mean?
Exactly,
and it sort of works
exactly
the opposite way. Yeah. I feel like that's something that definitely could happen if somebody had an idea. But I feel like the idea right now for these publishing people, like, I think the whole idea that this was created was so they could have the freedom and not worry about, like, well, I can't use Luke Skywalker because this. I can't touch Kylo Ren because you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so that they could have the freedom to tell these stories without being tethered by some of these, you know, quote unquote, bigger projects.
And what a great way if this is the way that is going down, where, like, when they're done with all of it, then they're going to be doing things. What a great way of building a world for people to just to get into, and at the end of it all have something where people are going, wait, what is this? Oh, you don't know what this is? Go check out these 50 different things that you could check out to figure, you know, to get yourself more familiar with this whole phase in High Republic.
I think that might be happening a little bit to an extent with the Acolyte.
Acolyte.
Because
yeah.
I think that's supposed to be like at the end of the High Republic phase. So
yeah, it is.
I think it's like, I don't know how to compare it, but it might be like what the prequels are to, I don't know, The Force Awakens. It's like far enough away to where it's like doesn't directly affect it, but it might pique people's interest enough to where people who really like that show might be like, oh, the High Republic, huh? And go back and check out these books. You know,
exactly.
It might go the other way as opposed to the way we're usually used to. You know, people watching a movie and then being like, well, I want to learn more about that. Let me go read a book about the Mandalorian or whatever.
This is like a bizarro version of Marvel. Like, they did it for 10 years in movie form.
Mm-hmm.
And Lucasfilm is doing it in written form and in audiobooks and in comic books. building it all together to get to this like Shenda, whatever it's going to be that we don't know yet.
And I think it's a separate, like the thing about it is it gets to be its own thing. Like, you know, right now, most of the storytelling seems to be like the Mandoverse, right? Mm-hmm. Like at least where we're focused on right now. You know, I know the Bad Batch is running right now, but we sort of like know where that begins and ends.
Right.
So it's like the journey of the characters. That's fun for us there. And I guess technically we know where the New Republic goes after the Mandoverse, but we don't know what happens to the Mandalorians. So I think that's where we get a lot of like where the interest of the story lies there. Mm-hmm. And now we have things like Ahsoka, all those sort of things like tying into this Mandalorian part of the storytelling that we're not sure if they're going to intersect or interact. You know, even though we might know the bigger endpoint of the New Republic and the First Order mm-hmm. and all these other things.
Yeah.
You know, and the High Republic, I think like these books and stories have like a good plan to go through. And I think like the idea behind the initiative was like, can we just have our own space where we don't have to worry about what J.J. Abrams is doing today or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, we don't have to go through 17 story meetings to figure out if we can use a guy.
Yeah. And honestly, this is the way it should be.
I mean, I like the idea.
People have the freedom to be creative and make things for the betterment of the story.
Yeah.
Not because somebody has to show up here or somebody has to do this because that's what they do.
Right. And I mean, not that it can't work the other way, because like obviously we have good movies that have stood the tests of time. But also like, look what we've gotten from this, from these people who have come up with this idea just to be like, hey, we want our own thing. Like, just think of all of the entirety of Phase One is an amazing storytelling full of so many moments, memorable moments, man. Elzar, man, memorable characters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, Elzar Mann is one of them. Porter Engel, who's now showing up as younger Porter Engel in Phase Two.
Yeah, that's so cool.
You know, like the things that they're able to do.
What's his name? The kid with the dog, the Charhouse.
Bell Zedifar and Ember.
Yeah, Bell's great.
You know? Yeah. And like a lot of these locations that are showing up over and over, you know, obviously Starlight Beacon is not anything here, but, you know, I think that place was on Arano where like Bell and the other guy are first hanging out.
Right.
That temple was on Arano.
Death was on Arano.
And Starlight crashes on Irem.
Irem. Yeah, that's true. You know?
Like so many things. I don't know. It's just such a cool, it's coming out really well. And I'm like putting my trust in them because the second phase, I don't want to call it simpler. I don't want to call it easier. It's drawing me in, but I'm waiting for these like hook, because there's questions that I have that still are not answered, I guess, you know. And so like that's what's like really keeping me connected. But I'm really starting to like some of the characters in Phase Two. Like Salandra Sho, I read in the entire other book and I was like, all right, she's cool, Jedi with a shield. In this book, like, I love her now. She is, like, amazing.
Yeah.
Like, she's so cool. Like, Guardians of the Wills. Man, when are we going to get some more stories about them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of good stuff that I can't wait to see. And, of course, like, the whole thing of the path, the mother, and all the shadiness that's happening with that cult. Like,
I
really want to see, because, like, I know something somewhere goes to the Nile. What is it? Who is it? Where is it? How do we get there?
Yeah,
man. So I don't know. I know you're like you missed a couple of books, but I figured we could sort of talk this.
I probably am at like 70% of all these things. I'll get there. I'll definitely get there. I'm enjoying the heck out of it.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. I really wanted to see how you were going to like come into this one, because I know you started this before you did Convergence.
Yeah, now I'm going back, and I'm hearing names and thinking, this is all making sense.
So now it's going like a little bit backwards, but still. Like,
yeah, it's okay.
It's good times.
Yeah, it's all good with me.
Good times. Let's see what else we got. Yeah, so for me, the path of the open hand is like the biggest question mark.
Right.
That I'm interested in seeing, when is that going to turn into something that we know from Phase One? Or what is Yoda talking about?
Yeah, right.
You know, the young, like the, what is it called? High Republic Adventures right now. They're taking place on Takodana.
Oh.
There's a Jedi temple on Takodana, and one of the Padawans there is like, man, being a Jedi is so boring. So she goes and kicks it with Maz Kanata most of the time.
Oh, damn, really?
And, like, does pirating stuff with her.
Oh, that's rad.
Which is, like, super rad. And at the end of this story, they keep talking about, they're saying something about, like, oh, there's something in this is happening, and now there's, like, pirates coming in that are taking from the spoils of this war that's, like, broken out again. And I wonder if they're talking about, I think, like, that might be connecting to that comic series.
Oh, got it.
So, like, I think we're getting all these little crumbs.
Oh.
You know. Dude. All right. Good times.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this audio drama. And I mentioned this to you when we were first talking about it. This is the first one that's not, doesn't have, like, a framing device of, like, a diary or a
narrative.
Retelling. Or it doesn't jump back between times. Unless you count the prologue where they're like, the bomb blows up. Okay, 3 days later.
Yeah. It's all in real time. Pretty
yeah. Soon. And it like kind of just follows a narrative.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Like, so I think they did a really good job because most of the time it's like Aphra telling us what happened or Asajj reading Dooku's diary or right. Whatever.
That definitely helped it move along. That's for sure.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really, really well done for one that like moved from beginning to end and didn't really like I wasn't really confused in like a way that, you know, if it's not done well, you could get confused really easily.
Yeah.
You know, and that helps when you have a full cast doing all kinds of different
things. Yeah, voices. And it's not just one. Yeah, that's yeah, not yeah, yeah, so yeah. True. Yeah.
You know,
that is so true.
And that's also, you know, the only thing I was like, whoa, is this Creighton or Graydon?
Yeah, that's the only thing.
That was the only one. Other than that, good times. All right, man. You got pluggables. Where can people check you out again before we go?
Yeah, please. First of all, thanks for inviting me again. I love you guys, and I love coming on here. It's the best, man.
Anytime, man.
Can't stress that enough. You can check us out, SithList.com, and you can also at SithList anywhere social media is found, and then podcast The SithList and YouTube. Yeah. The Sith List. So we're all over the place. Just check us out there. And we'd love to have you.
Right on, right on. You know where to check us out. We're at theroguerebels.com. We are at TheRogueRebels everywhere else except on Twitter where we are Rogue Rebels fam. Make sure, like, yo, High Republic, Twitter, Hive, Tumblr, wherever you at, High Republic people, share this, man. This is High Republic content. We are here with you talking. We got all kinds of High Republic love. I'll be covering the comics over there on the website and have plenty of good shows coming. So make sure you do us a favor, spread the word, give us 5 stars, give us a share. It's free. It means nothing to you, everything to us. So I can't wait for the next High Republic thing, which right now is Convergence. Convergence is what you're going through. The names are so similar. Cataclysm, yes. Cataclysm is the next one.
Cataclysm.
Yeah. You let me know when you're done Convergence, and then
yes, I will.
Yeah,
I will.
Cataclysm. You'll be ready for Cataclysm.
Yeah.
Good times. All right. Thank you for listening. End of podcast.
The fate of all Jedi for control of the Force itself.